43-51. Jesus has begun calling disciples to follow him. In today's lesson, he calls disciples from the region of Galilee, in which his hometown is located. Hear the word of God. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." He then added, "I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man."
Weeks of ordinary time that are leading up to the season of Lent, we are hearing scripture passages that are centered around the theme of call, how God comes to us and calls to us. And we have the font out here reminding us that, as we saw when we attended the baptism of Jesus last week, in our baptism, God speaks our name, calls to us, and calls us God's own beloved child. But then God has more to say after that, and so the series continues this week. And so we hear from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 20. Let us continue to hear God's word. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me?" But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. And again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me?" "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me?" Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears of it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering.
Samuel lay down
until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for the gift of this word. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. I guess the Bible isn't always strange to modern times, although maybe I'm jumping to conclusions that on this. It could be that some of us hear a word from the Lord more often than I do. Not that God doesn't speak, or I don't think that God speaks. Not that I'm not trying to listen. It's just that it doesn't seem very often that I hear a clearly discernible, easily verifiable word of the Lord. Is that a strange thing for a preacher to say? Here I am, standing in this preaching tradition of the Reformation that says things like what the Second Helvetic Confession says: the preaching of the Word of God is the Word of God. And this word from 1 Samuel about the rarity of the word of the Lord in those days begs honesty from me in these days, that it's not that often. Really, I don't know if it ever has been that I have heard a word of God so clear that I could write words down on paper and say, now these words are precisely the words of God. From God's lips to mine, thus saith the Lord. The word of God feels a lot more rare than that. Not that God isn't speaking. See, isn't this just the thing? That we believe in a God who speaks, a God who spoke creation into existence, a God who spoke covenant to Abraham, a God who spoke God's name to Moses, who spoke truth through Isaiah, who spoke parables through Jesus, who spoke visions to John of Patmos. Our God is no one, if not a speaking God. So why is it that people aren't lining up outside my study door burning because they have a word from the Lord and they just have to share it with me? I don't think I'm alone in believing that even though God does speak to us, it can be hard to hear what God is saying. When people come to me saying, "Pastor, I'd like to talk," it's not usually because they've heard from God as though God was sitting across the dining room table. More often, it's because they wish God's speech to them would be that plain. But as it is, their ears hurt from straining for the voice. Even those who dig in Scripture can feel that a word of God specifically fitting to those conundrums of life that drive us crazy, that kind of word is as rare as a 5-carat diamond. Not that Scripture isn't the word of the Lord. Here we go again. God speaks through Scripture. It's just that the kind of word we crave isn't just love your neighbor as yourself, which is as true a word of God as we will ever hear. But just what does it mean for me to love that neighbor? That one who so gets under my skin, I feel like I could yell in his face until his face blasts right off. Lord, speak to me a word that is about that situation, about what loving that person really looks like. A word that has my name and my life on it. A word clearly for me. Maybe I should share a little bit from my life. A little more than 3 years ago, I had a chance to accept a call as a pastor of a church, and I declined it. For 5 years, I had been serving the Parkville congregation, the congregation I just came from, and a church the next state over from here began to have talks with me about the possibility of my serving as their head of staff. And I went out to visit, and I preached, and the whole family went, and we spent time with the search committee, and we loved them. Do you know, we loved those people. We laughed, we ate meals, we had a great time. We even ended the visit by sharing beer and pizza. It would have been a beautiful place to live, a great town for raising kids. And at the end of our visit, the pastor nominating committee extended a call that I might be their candidate as pastor. 4 days later, I turned it down. I guess the plainest way to explain why is that Heather and I discerned a word from God that this was not a call from the Lord. But let me tell you what kind of word of God it wasn't. As we prayed, God did not speak so audibly that had a tape recorder been sitting in the room, we would have heard God's voice on it. As I sat with Scripture, there was no text that glowed like neon, instructing us not to make that move. As I spoke with others, with Heather, with friends, with people I trust, no one came and spoke prophet style, "Thus saith the Lord, do not accept that call." I believe God did speak a word, and I believe that we were faithful in our hearing of it. But I have to say that it was a word that felt rare. As in undercooked, not as firm as I would have wanted it to be. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. It was a hard time for Israel. They were threatened from the outside by Philistine invaders, while inside there were wars from among the tribes. Israel was in danger of breaking apart from within. Religion was corrupt. The sons of Eli the priest were sleeping with the women who served at the temple. They were using a sacrifice system to their own gain. Overall, the very last line of the book of Judges, which serves as prelude to the story of Samuel, sums it up pretty well. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit. Maybe God's word wasn't heard because no one really cared to listen. But then there was Samuel. Samuel was God's gift to his mother Hannah, who had been childless but desperately prayerful that God would give her a son. Hannah's petitions received no verbal response from the Lord, but rather this little soul who formed in her womb and whom she bore and named Samuel. "If you will give your servant a son," she prayed, "I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life." And so she did. Samuel lived and grew up with Eli in the Lord's house in Shiloh. With Eli's checkered parenting record and failing literal and perhaps spiritual vision, it seems Samuel deserved a whole lot better in a surrogate father and spiritual guide. But one night, in the small hours, Eli received an awakening. Samuel's sleep-heavy feet shuffled into Eli's room there in the house of God. "I'm here," the boy said. "You called?" Eli groaned and stirred in his blankets. No, I didn't call, said his groggy voice. Go back to bed. But soon the boy was back. You called? Here I am, said Samuel. No, I didn't, said Eli, perhaps a little bit grumpy now. Go back to bed. Still the boy returned. I'm here. You called me? And something flicked in Eli. The little bit of spiritual vision he had left told him that God was afoot. Perhaps the hairs stood up on his arms and his neck, and his skin began to tingle in this moment of realization that a voice and a presence were there in God's house. And suddenly Eli's voice wasn't thick with sleep anymore. He said, go. Go and lie down, and if he says your name, if he calls to you, respond. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. And so Samuel went back, and he lay down there amid the torch-cast shadows in God's house. And the Lord came and stood there. And the Lord called as before, Samuel. Samuel. This word of the Lord commanding Samuel's attention. It was the rare speech of God. For Samuel hadn't known the Lord before. As the text says, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Maybe there's something there. That at issue in Samuel's hearing of God wasn't just the audibility of the voice, but the knowing of the one who spoke. The noise itself did a fine job of reaching Samuel's ears. Three times he left his room convinced he was being called. It was the knowing, the discerning, the appropriate responding that so perplexed the boy. Perhaps this puzzle is familiar even to those who do know the Lord. It's one thing to profess with the mouth, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and quite another to live attentively to how Jesus is moving and speaking among us. It's one thing to believe with the head in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and quite another to know with the heart what it is to share communion with this God. It's one thing to call Scripture holy, and quite another to receive the life-shaping word that God speaks through Scripture's pages. Speak. Your servant is listening, said Samuel, just as Eli instructed. Despite his bumbling as a dad and his failed leadership as a priest, Eli's counsel was good when it came to Samuel's knowing God. God is known best by listening. To which we might say, end of sermon. That's it, church. There's the word, listen to God, just like Samuel. But we've already said that hearing this word of God that takes up the intricacies of our lives really defies a simplistic explanation, like a simplistic injunction, like just listen to God. The story of Samuel and Eli gives us a lesson in how to listen for God's voice. It's not the only way to listen to God's voice, but it suggests that our discernment of God's word for our lives and for this church requires more ears than just two. To hear God's word to them that day, Eli and Samuel needed each other. Samuel needed Eli to say, essentially, boy, that's the Lord who's calling you. And Eli needed Samuel to deliver a word that God was speaking to him. And it was a terrible word. It was a hard message Eli heard from the lips of the boy Samuel, this decree of judgment on Eli's house. And Eli surely lamented this word of God against his family. But I have to wonder also if he wasn't a little bit relieved that God was still speaking, that God's lamp had not gone out, that God's voice would continue to resound as it was now through the boy who would be the prophet Samuel. to hear the word that God was speaking that night, there were 4 ears and 2 mouths required. They needed each other to receive God's word, these two, Samuel and Eli the priest. God chose not to speak to the one without using the ears and the mouth of the other. Which leads me to wonder if the word of the Lord does not stand a whole lot closer to us than we sometimes think. It seems to me I shouldn't continue a whole lot longer preaching as your pastor without sharing a little bit of how I discerned this call to serve Christ Church. In the course of my talks with the search committee, I spent time in scripture, I spent time in prayer. On walks and runs, I voiced questions to God and listened. But in the end, God's voice and response didn't sound like Bible speak, didn't sound like James Earl Jones or Whoopi Goldberg or George Burns. God's voice was a lot more familiar than that. I heard God through a search committee member who said, "You know, Matt, you just seem to have a lot of the qualities that we're looking for in a pastor right now." God spoke through a longtime spiritual guide who said, "Matt, when you talk about this church, there's a different kind of light in your eyes." God sounded in the voice of a friend who said, "Matt, if this call came up unexpectedly, there is a pretty good chance that the Lord is in it." The word God speaks to us is often hidden in words of people close to us. I wouldn't put it past God to speak to us in a cell phone. God speaks to the likes of men who gather early at Arabica on Wednesday mornings, where they read scripture, but then they also go on to talk about life. You know, maybe we'd hear God a lot more if we were a lot more willing to open the spaces of our lives to each other. This Tuesday, the session's going to meet to discern God's voice and leading for this church, and it's only as they attend to the voices of one another that they will hear the Spirit speak. Because God's Spirit lives in each of us. That's what we say when we are baptized. So our mouths may be the way that we are speaking God's word to someone else. It's into the dusty, noisy, so often confusing spaces of life that God's voice sound. The word became flesh after all. And flesh remains God's chosen way of speaking. Maybe much of our hearing of God just involves a lot of listening to each other. Just as God joined an old priest and a boy to make God's voice known and to get God's way lived in the world, I'm just not going to hear God's word for my life if I choose not to listen to you. You have the Spirit, and God will surely make you to be my preacher. I suppose this is God's wisdom in preaching, that we don't all just sit in a sanctuary and read the Bible individually for half an hour, but rather we tend to this fleshy servant of God whose words somehow, in the power of the Spirit, become a word of God for us. Come in close and speak to us, we sang in our prayer for illumination. God's word to us may be a whole lot closer than we think. Even as close as the heart of each to whom I speak, even as familiar as each mouth that speaks to me.
Let us pray.
Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. Grant us ears to hear your word from out of Scripture's page. And help us to hear how the word still takes flesh in the voices of our sisters and brothers, all those voices that you make to serve that word, Jesus Christ, who leads us into life. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. Amen.